All right. What do you want to talk about?
What are you drinking?
Vanilla Dr. Pepper.
That's not good.
What?
No.
It's so delicious.
Have you ever had ocean water from Sonic?
Yeah, actually. Is that the, like, it's kind of like blue. The lightly flavored stuff?
That's blue. Oh, no, it tastes kind of like coconut.
They have Sonic Splash now, which is kind of a lighter flavor.
You either go for it or you don't. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to drink pop, or if you think pop's bad for you, don't drink it. Don't do the diet crap.
Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual. You've just got a smile
and hang out with intelligent people.
Are you going to intro?
Yes, I'll intro.
Except for you're going to make that the intro.
Most likely. So I just should not intro at all now.
I guess not.
Because that is the intro. Travis, can I say welcome back?
Yeah, I guess so. Why not?
Welcome back.
Thank you. You too. It's
been a while. Has anything big happened in your life since you left?
Since we've
recorded last?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I had a baby one time.
Oh, that's not really big.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I
don't want to like hype it up or anything. It wasn't that big of a deal. Man, I gotta tell you, this is working for me though.
For those of you out there in the listening audience, we met with our bosses and went over a new studio layout and had it renovated, and that's one of the reasons we've been gone so long, because it went behind schedule.
that's absolutely correct.
Basically what happened was we exchanged tables.
We had to move to the top floor of the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
What happened.
We're moving on up.
That's where we record now.
Yeah. This is an interesting introduction.
It is. We always have terrible introductions.
We need to work on this.
Here.
I'm taking introduction class.
We're gonna do
introduction to introductions 101.
This is one of my the Department of Redundancy department, right? This is one of my favorite things from Stuff You Should Know.
What?
The obvious answer intro. So,
okay. Yeah.
So today's episode, Adam.
Yeah.
Have you ever used electricity?
No.
It's the stuff of tomorrow. Oh, wow. Is what it is.
Or what if we asked, like, have you ever, you know, humans get energy from food. Uh-huh. Have you ever reused that energy?
Reused?
So basically eaten or drinking and reused the energy that you extruded?
That you...
Bear Grylls does.
I don't know where you're going with this, man.
Okay.
But I don't think I like it.
Yeah, well, welcome back, everybody. After all that, we've been gone for a little while, and we are going to revamp our sessions a little bit, correct? Did we mention that last time?
I don't know that we did.
I don't know if we did or not.
A lot of internal discussion. Had to talk to the producers, yeah.
Yes. We have decided that the three segments was starting to push things kind of long, and so we decided to basically cut it down to two.
Yes, we want the same depth of discussion, so without running over on time too much, we wanted to, cut it back to two.
So we got two sections for you today. I have no idea. Did we put them underneath a specific category?
I don't know that we did.
I don't know if we even talked about it.
We'll shoehorn it into something like we always do. It may or may not make sense, but whatever.
That's fine. All right, well, we'll just get started. I had some stuff to say, but I think I can probably input it somewhere more effectively else.
Excellent.
You ready?
Yes, I'm so ready.
We're going to start with electric cars. I'm going to do my best impersonation of an electric car sound. Ready?
That's really good.
Isn't that the point of the electric car? Sadly, interestingly, and we'll talk about this later, but that's actually one of the reasons why I don't ever want an electric car.
Really? You like the sound?
I love the sound of my car, especially, you know, the Mustang, the V8.
I mean,
is that a good reason to keep burning fossil fuels? No.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard to give up.
It's there's something like the Y chromosome just identifies with a cam turning over like once every 3 seconds.
It's
just
because
that,
it's got the V at the top, like V8. A Y?
Yeah.
You know, a Y has a V at the top.
That was pretty rough, but I'll give it to you. I mean, you're not wrong.
Dude, this is like the first time back. I mean, this is the first recording of the year. You'll give me a break.
That's
on
a really good point, actually. So on the noise thing, you've heard, right, that there are complaints about that. It's too quiet.
Yeah, you don't know what's happening. Yeah.
So you can't hear it coming. You don't have that trigger of, oh, there's a car coming.
Yeah.
You're like, what just hit me?
Or
I think my neck's broken.
There's been a few times in like we don't have super nice cars. And there's been a few times when I've driven in a really nice car, a nice new car, just internal combustion, and it's so quiet that you're sitting there, and I'll park, and I'll be sitting there for a while, and then I'll try to start it again, and I'll get that grind because it's already running. I'm like, wait, it's already started. So maybe there could be that issue, too.
There you go.
Scrap the whole thing, man. I want to hear my car.
At one point, I think they were going to, force electric vehicles to make some sort of noise.
Put baseball cards in the spokes. you know what's funny is, I'm into the remote control airplanes, and I do nothing but electrics, and you can buy speaker boxes and put it inside the airplane to make it sound like it has a gas engine.
Nice.
So you get that feeling, and it's proportional to the throttle. It revs up, and it comes back down, and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's totally fake.
And if you've got the money to buy an electric car, you can probably afford a speaker box to make it sound like a Hemi.
And all those, instead of all those guys with those big old subwoofers pumping up all that rap and junk, they can be pumping up engine sounds.
Didn't we just have a discussion about the years that we were born and how crotchety
all
we are?
Kids and their music.
Those kids of the 90s.
Back in my day, we didn't have music. Kind of did, actually.
We had to read magnetic tape.
What?
Yeah, whatever. Don't worry about it.
Should we get started with this?
Yeah, okay. So what do you think? Obviously, kind of the elephant in the room with electric cars right now is Tesla.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, who is a huge hero of mine, as just a genius entrepreneur, engineer type guy.
You know the problem with this two-segment thing is it's going to make me okay with doing more rabbit trails, and I'm already feeling that.
That's exactly it, though. That's great. So Elon Musk, of former PayPal fame, that's kind of where he got the seed capital, started Tesla Motors. Their first car was the Tesla Roadster, which was like a $100,000 car, two-door, fully electric. And then they kind of branched out into the Model S, which is like a $70,000 four-door luxury sedan, full electric.
Pretty affordable.
It's not terrible, right?
Yeah, I guess.
If you're going to buy a really high-end Mercedes or something like that, you're in that price range.
Yeah.
And then the next one that they're coming out with, I think it's the Model 3 or the Model E, I don't remember. But it's like a $30,000 sedan, which is
right in the range.
I mean, that's like buying a new Honda Accord, with a good package on it.
I'm a car guy, but I don't know all the brands real well, but I don't like the cars that are just like Model S, Model T, Model E. I like names.
Yeah.
Mustang.
Yeah, but you kind of box yourself in, Like, what's it going to be called?
You got to keep coming up with new names.
So I'm a fan of Futurama, as always. There's a car in there. In the year 3000, they've exhausted all the names, so it's the Ford Thunder Cougar Facklenburg.
I like it.
Yeah, there you go.
Put it on a shirt. So originally, too, and you can keep going. I don't know where you were going with that, but originally, too, you had originally asked me on this when we first talked about electric cars. The basic questions were, would you own one, and will they?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much basically what we do. We think that the electric car as kind of an industry has a future. Yeah. Is that the direction that we're going to go? Everyone obviously is aware of the struggle to, get away from fossil fuels for both the environment and for practical reasons. It's non-renewable, so eventually, sometime, it's going to run out.
Yeah.
So would you drive one? Do you think they have a future, or do you think something else is going to come around? So let's tackle this. Let's tackle this first one.
Okay.
What do you think is the future of the electric car? Do you think and let's be even more specific. Do you think that Tesla is like the first brand that's going to stick around and say, we made the electric car work, and they'll be around as a manufacturer in 20 years?
That's really hard, to be honest with you. I mean, this is one of the few things in my life I don't have like an actual solid belief about.
Oh, okay.
To look at the future, I'm going to sound totally something teachery or whatever you want to call it. Travis, to look at the future, I feel you need to look at the past.
Ooh, wow.
I'm just saying that.
That's okay.
Do you know much about the past of the electric car?
I did some research on it. And I didn't watch the movie, but I read the Wikipedia synopsis, at least, of Who Killed the Electric Car.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Which is basically, it's not specifically about the Chevy EV1, but it's kind of, they kind of use that as the backbone of the story.
And that's, but that's in the 60s, 70s, 80s. That's in there.
No. That was in like late 90s, 2000s.
Okay.
And apparently California had said to like seven major car manufacturers that if they didn't produce a zero emission vehicle, essentially electric or something comparable, that they wouldn't be allowed to sell their gasoline cars. And so they all kind of started rushing to say, okay, well, how can we do this? Well, it got tied up politically and the technology wasn't there. Yeah. And, you know, there are lots of arguments for what really caused the problem. Was it the government? Was it the manufacturers? Was it low demand? Whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But basically, the electric car failed to take off at that time.
Well, did you go much further back than that? Like 1880s, 1900s?
Uh-uh.
That's what was interesting is a lot of the very first cars were electric.
Okay.
I got one stat that in 1900, there was 4,192 cars on the road.
Mm-hmm.
28% of them were electric.
Wow.
Which is it's kind of crazy to look back there, and some of the thoughts were that would be the way to go.
What kind of technology did they use? They have batteries now, right?
And there were batteries back then. They were all old school, the beginnings of the lead acid batteries.
Okay.
And that was one of the problems. And I don't know real in depth. You know, they weren't as powerful. They were slow. They didn't have the range. All those kind of things. But they were definitely on the table. And then basically Henry Ford came out and. It was squashed.
It wasn't necessarily the strength of the technology. In his case, it was the manufacturing, right?
With it was the manufacturing, idea for the assembly line. And then, you know, who knows? I don't want to get into all that and start touching into conspiracies, but then you get political and you get different, you know, you just get companies with the money. But it is interesting to think that it's very weird to think about. If the electric car was kind of grasping a hold back, then you look at our cars and the what they have done up to this point from the Model T to now.
Yeah.
If electric cars would have stuck around, they'd be.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. This is like an obscure fact. I like that you went there because in gasoline engines, internal combustion engines, they are also so much more efficient now. And that's kind of one of the arguments for, I don't know, I guess you could say if we had invested in electric car technology, we would have made those quantum leaps in efficiency.
Yeah.
On the other hand, gas cars really aren't as bad, you know, on a case-by-case basis for the environment as they were when they first came out.
Yeah.
I think it was a Bugatti. I don't remember. But basically, the car that they produced recently in the 2000s could idle on the exhaust of the same brand's car you know, in 1930 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just that much more efficient. And that's how poor they were back then.
Yeah.
So you can use that to go one way or the other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely, it's weird to think about. I don't think most people realize that there were electric cars.
Yeah.
Some of the first cars were electric cars.
That's interesting. So back to the question, do you think that this is the time that they will take off? I didn't live, you know, I wasn't paying attention in the 90s or 2000s when that whole thing was happening. And it seemed like it kind of focused around the coast, around California. Yeah. But obviously neither of us were alive in the early 1900s. Maybe. So do you think this time is different? Do you think Tesla is the one that will break out for the electric car?
Here's my feeling on it. I don't feel it's a technology kind of issue. What can we make it work? Can we make it affordable? I think it's going to be a complete social, political. Will there be enough people that want it and push for it? And so I don't.
Okay, so let's say that. I think that it's pretty well been. I think you can look at the political climate and see that there's a lot more people, even in the mainstream political arena, that care about environmental stuff.
Yeah.
So do you think that creates, you know, removes one of the big barriers to electric cars?
My gut feeling right now is that it will not just, we won't ever just become electric cars.
Okay.
You know, there's fuel cells out there. There's other technologies that are trying to kind of push forward. I don't feel that right now electric cars have a big enough of a hold that it's just going to become, we're going to swap to electric cars.
Okay.
I almost have a feeling that something else is going to come out.
Huh.
Some other kind of technology for propulsion instead of electric.
There have been other things in the past too, like the hydrogen fuel cell was kind of one of those things dangled out in front. I don't know. It was sort of a big story a couple of months ago, but apparently Lockheed Martin has filed a patent on a fusion reactor.
Yeah,
which is, I don't know. It's one of those things where like I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
but it was supposed to be small enough to fit on like the bed of a truck.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then you could have these ultra safe, ultra powerful fusion reactors powering, you know, eventually that technology matures into consumer products.
Yeah. I just feel on my little bit of research, and like I said, like you said, the very first gas-powered cars were clanky and terrible. We're kind of seeing some of that with the electric, and we have to get past the big hump, which means there has to be enough people willing to deal with the clanky ones. Not that Tesla's cars are clanky.
Right.
Those things are amazing.
Right.
But we have to get past that hump to kind of start learning. But I looking on certain things, like if I were to go buy... I was looking at electric cars, and I was like, how expensive are these? You know, $30,000 is kind of your low ones, your Nissan Leaf.
The Leaf, right?
So you can get into the $30,000. I was like, damn, that's expensive. But on the other hand, no, there's a lot of new cars out there.
Exactly.
That's a new car.
Exactly.
So then I started asking myself, would I buy a used one? I would not feel comfortable buying a used car, a used electric car, because of the fact that it's got batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking up what would it cost to replace a battery.
Yeah,
and you're looking at $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 for a pack of batteries for a car, and there's a lot of those kind of issues that for me doesn't make the electric car this instant amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, cost of ownership of a gas engine car, a lot more moving parts, a lot more can
there
break.
There are a lot of things that you have to pay for a car. But if we're talking, you know, I mean, I could get a new. I mean, I would imagine I could get at least a partially new motor put in my car for $6,000. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that I feel there. What will the electric car do for me? It'll save a lot of money for me in gas, given. But I feel there's still going to be. I just don't know if it's worth the swap over. Gotcha. I did a lot of little calculations, you know, and with me and my little minded math of based off of the gas savings, how long would it take me to pay off an electric car,
all that
kind of stuff. And, you know, it's outlandish. It's 20 years and that kind of stuff. But, you know, but I also, like you said, I'll have issues with the car I'm on right now. It won't last another 20 years. It's just right now, for me, there's just not enough to push me into it. It's just not enough of a saving. It's not enough of a, you know, everything.
I gotcha. Well, and I think that's going to be something that kind of resonates through both topics today, is that, you know, it has to make economic sense for people. Otherwise, you know, the incentive of saving the world, it sounds great. It sounds like something you'd get behind.
Yes.
But when it, you know, 100 million people need to make that decision individually and it comes out of their wallet,
it's gonna
a little harder sell.
It's going to have to be, for me, it would have to be a really impressive gain.
Mm-hmm.
Something like, and it's I guess it's good. It's bad that I feel this way, but it's good that I recognize I feel this way.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, for me, just to save the money on gas and to have a little less emissions, I wouldn't make that jump right now.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to me.
So we always talk about our buddies, Dubner and Levitt from Freakonomics, and right now I'm reading the actual book. Uh-huh. I've listened to the podcast for years, but haven't read the book. And I like the way that they describe it, is that morality, the study of morality, is the way people wish the world was, whereas economics shows how people actually behave.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that's just it. It's there's that layer of, sure, this is the ideal world, but this is how the incentive structures work out in the actual world.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I learned from them was that Norway is a huge buyer of Teslas. Far and away one of the highest consumers of Teslas. And it's because they have subsidies where basically you avoid a lot of taxes because they try very hard to have public policy that's green.
Yeah.
There are things, obviously, that, you know, there's always a flip side to that.
Yeah.
But they have these public policies, and so you have tax incentives, and you can drive in, like, the bus lanes
if you have
an electric car. A lot of people buy Teslas because the government has made it make sense in their case.
Yep.
Now, the caveat, of course, is that Norway can financially allow those subsidies because they've made a killing off of oil that they discovered and have exported. Okay.
Yes, I read an article about that. Or maybe you told me about it.
So there's some
very green.
There's some give and take
everybody
there.
Else not green.
Exactly. It's it's all, you know, it all moves around.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the incentives are there.
Yeah.
And so the government kind of pushes them in that direction. And maybe it's good, maybe it's bad.
Yeah.
It's certainly noteworthy, I guess.
Yeah. I read a few things and it talked about, you know, pushing things out to the year, you know, 2030 and 2050 and 2070.
Mm-hmm.
And about how a lot of their speculation. I mean, it's not gonna be like by the year 2070, it's gonna be all electric cars.
Right.
You know, they're thinking, you know, maybe 30%, 20% will be. But they also think the gas cars will start being 70, 80 mile per hour per gallon cars on average. And that changes a lot of stuff,
And there's still hybrids. And, you know, there's I'm sure there's a critical kind of point where there are enough gas cars off the market that the supply and demand for gasoline itself makes it more economically viable to drive a gas car. Yeah. You know, I mean, gas goes down to 30 cents a gallon, and you're like, all of a sudden it makes more sense for me to buy a gas car than electric again.
Do you think military will have anything to do with it?
How so?
Well, so my I mean, obviously military and a lot of those kind of budgets drive things. Mm-hmm. I would have, in my simple mind, I would think government realizes oil is hard to get and eventually be harder.
Mm-hmm.
Would they want to start developing vehicles and ways to transport and fight not based off of oil anymore?
Oh,
so
sure.
Either electric vehicles or different power, the fusion, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Solar, or military,
you know,
and
if you've got a huge
down.
If you've got a huge base in the desert, throw some solar cells there and call yourself good, you know.
So it'd be interesting to see if they made that choice to try to make sure they weren't dependent on the countries they're fighting for fossil fuels.
Right. Well, and of course that has had huge political influence over the last, 50 years. You know, going back to the oil crisis in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, both Bush presidents have been accused of dabbling in the oil and stuff. So certainly has huge implications.
So, Travis, if your car died today, would you contemplate an electric car or hybrid?
No, because the ones that are on the market today, you know, when we're recording this, they just don't make sense in my budget. You know, my wife's car went out and our budget was like $7,000 to go buy a new car.
Yeah.
There's not a chance I'm going to get a nice electric car.
Exactly. And if you would, I wouldn't trust an electric car that's cheap right now.
Right. It's like, not... And then I've got to allow another $7,000 for batteries that I'm trusting are going to go out. But I'll tell you, from a business perspective and, you know, I guess morality or a philosophical perspective, there are two things I like that Tesla does. One of them is they make beautiful cars and people are attracted to them apart from the fact that they're electric. You know, the fact that they're electric maybe is some sort of warm fuzzy, but there's still a sex appeal aspect to these cars.
Well, and they figured out how to, because one of the biggest things to me is the segment of our society that would say no electric cars are the car guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want my fast car. I want my powerful car.
Exactly.
And that Tesla touched on
they
that.
They can book
because
it. Yeah.
It's fast and you can have that car and still be, you know, at least to some extent, the car guy.
Right. So, you know. Well, I think that's why it was smart for them to start in the higher end market.
Yeah.
So people could say, oh, you can make an electric car fast. Oh, you can make an electric car suave, you know, with the sedan, the luxury sedan. And then they're going to say, okay, now you can have your little piece of that that's not quite as fast or sexy, but it's still good. And then, so the other thing I like that Tesla does, and this I think is a reflection of Elon Musk himself, his philosophy on stuff. Is that they release all of their patents.
Yes,
now, that's not to say that that makes him like this huge philanthropist, like, oh, I'm just giving my patents away. Because it would take a ton of money for somebody to catch up with where he's at.
Yeah.
Still, the idea is that, okay, I can make money off this, but I can also share the technology for others to help me develop. And that does build the industry overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the interesting thing, too, for me is, as I mentioned earlier, I'm into remote control, and I've done boat racing, I've been into cars, I've been into airplanes, I've touched on all of that, and I've been in it long enough that I've seen a massive jump in its how it's used. When I started, we used with our brushed motors, your very classic electric motor, with nickel metal hydride batteries, and then we jumped into lithium polymer batteries, and now we have what's called a brushless motor, which are insanely powerful. And I went from an electric, you know, electric car, RC car that could do 15, 20 miles per hour on these brushed. And now I have an electric car that can do 70. You can go out and buy, you can go to the hobby shop right now. You can get an electric car that'll do over 100.
Jeez.
And get there in like 2.5 seconds. Like
wow.
Insane.
There's no inertia
They're
to overcome.
So powerful.
And no gears to go through.
Yeah, exactly. And so I can kind of see how that maybe could be ramped up to bigger. I mean, I could see, you know, all the modifications we do to our little stuff. I could see that kind of becoming, you just to apply it to a car somehow.
Right, That's how a lot of things are. You know, you start off with a big, something that's huge, like the fusion reactor. Well, the bed of a pickup is way too big if it's viable. You know, or you start out teeny tiny, but then there's kind of that happy medium where you can scale it up or down.
And some people have been scaling it up because a few of the guys took the larger brushless motors and lipos and put them in Power Wheels. And now their kids got these little Power Wheel cars that can drift and all sorts of awesome stuff. And so, you know, I think it's, and then there's the, I was at Oshkosh, the Air Venture a few years ago, and they had a few electric powered gliders. And the motor on the back looked like it's a really big RC motor. I mean, it was just like, it looked like this really big electric, you know.
Nice.
So I think, I don't know. I think electrics will, maybe I'm too stuck on futuristic videos.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever see electric vehicles.
Right.
You see like, you know,
electric airplanes.
I don't know what kind of fusion or whatever they use. They they're not plugging stuff in. They just have a different kind of propulsion.
Right. The dream is not like the next step. It's 10 steps down the road. I gotcha.
So that's what my mind is.
Yeah. And you know, another problem it seems is the building the infrastructure to make it realistic.
Yeah.
There's a gas station on every exit of the highway. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can plug in your car anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Your electric car anywhere, but to actually get a charge in a reasonable amount of time to make it viable.
Yeah, special.
And so I think that's another thing that I like about what Tesla is doing is that they're kind of, you know, you got to sort of cut the path. You have to forge that path through, and then others, it's easier to follow.
Yeah.
So I think they're in the really early stages of that, and that needs to happen if electric cars are going to stick around. So we'll see how that goes in the next few years.
I support them for the simple reason of the name of their company.
Right?
Tesla is a person, I mean, he's such a fascinating person and did amazing things. I support him just for that fact that they chose his name.
Yeah. So let's segue a little bit here, Adam.
Have you ever ridden one of those?
A what, a Segway?
Yeah.
No, but I would love to.
Yeah.
I need like a suit and a stogie and a Segway.
I think we should make that an official SPI outing.
Okay, to go ride Segways.
Find one that rents them.
Do they still exist?
Oh, yeah. They actually, like, when maybe we're making ourselves look like the dumb Midwesterns, but Town right. West in Wichita, the cops ride Segways.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you, this may be an urban legend, but I've heard that the creator of the Segway drove a Segway off a cliff, and that's how he died. Like, he was just riding a Segway and fell off a cliff.
No idea.
Died on impact.
This is an interesting segue.
Man, that's just going to live on. So I think one of the biggest benefits that people say about the electric car is obviously the environmental aspect, you know, that it's better than burning gas.
Yeah.
But is it?
Is it?
Is it? Okay.
The answer to that question in a minute.
After this message break. So I think what a lot of people don't realize or don't do is peel back just one layer and they say, okay, so it's the car is powered by electricity, but where does that electricity come from?
Yeah.
And a lot of areas are powered where the electric grid is powered by coal or gas or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no net benefit because you're just burning the same amount of gas
exactly
upstream. To produce the electricity that powers your car.
Do you know where we are getting electricity from right now?
Yeah, Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek?
Yeah, it's a nuclear plant.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, my uncle used to work there.
But we have a coal plant right by, right? Or natural gas? The thing is right... It's right
I mean, there's right
probably... by Mays.
There's probably quite a few.
Yeah.
But I think one of the major ones for the Kansas area is Wolf Creek.
Okay.
And so a nuclear plant would be... I'm a huge fan of nuclear power anyway.
Yeah.
But a nuclear plant would be better, you know, for someone driving an electric vehicle. But if you're in the Northeast where a lot of your infrastructure is based on coal plants, then it's probably not any better than burning gasoline in your car.
And I'm not going to get too much into this. I didn't have time or desire to really crank out the numbers, but you also have your manufacturing.
Right. It's expensive to make those batteries
and
a lot of waste.
And a lot of waste to make. So it's not like electric cars are just like grown on a nice tree, you
right.
know, and it's just such a green thing.
Pluck your leaf from a tree.
Wow.
Mm.
There's a lot of levels to it.
Right.
I'm not saying that's the end of it. Like, yeah, you manufacture them, you burn waste. So there you go. Forget them.
Right.
But it's just a lot of things to consider.
That's right. So, you know, the 1-2 punch of we can't burn gas in our cars, you know, overall, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But the electricity that powers our new cars needs to come from renewable resources to really heal the earth.
Just put a Band-Aid on it.
So let's talk about that?
Renewable energy?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Segment two.
Segment two. So as far as renewable energy, I had always thought that's just like batteries. You go buy new batteries and you renew your energy.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Uh-huh. Oh. I mean, you can fill your gas tank, so technically it's renewable.
Yeah.
And that gas just comes from the ground, so.
So where else would it come from?
It's no different than just coming from the sun. It's the same thing.
I always just thought it was crazy that there are that many gasoline wells around the town that we were able to put gas stations on top of them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If gas comes
everywhere.
From the ground.
Well, it's just one big one is
okay,
what it is.
Okay, so they just tap on it. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's interesting.
You know. Okay, great. now that we've made fools of ourselves.
What? That's not how it works?
Where
do you want to go with this renewable energy thing?
Well, that's a really good question. I think the same questions kind of apply, mostly, you know, because you're not going to have a power plant in your backyard.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess you could, though.
You might, yeah.
There are miniaturized
solar and wind
plants, and you can get solar panels for the top of your house.
Yeah.
And then, so question one, would you participate in those? And question two, do you think it's going to be viable for the whole nation, the whole world, in the long term?
Are you asking me this?
Yeah, oh yeah, this is your question, man.
Here, blindsided with seeing it beforehand. I, you know, it's kind of a funny thing because I say I don't own an electric car and I don't think they will be the end all say all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm talking on that side, I'm talking to electric cars. I think fossil fuels will obviously dwindle out.
Okay.
And we'll have to find a different propulsion.
Something else. It's just not electric.
Something else. But I don't feel it'll be exactly like that.
Okay.
But
right.
On the other hand, yes, I do feel there should be the time and the money put into renewable energy.
Okay.
Financially right now, would I go buy a solar panel for my roof? No. But it's kind of some of the reasons with the electric car. I'm still waiting for it to get a little more cheap and more viable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel the solar energy is not there yet.
Yeah.
Wind power. It's good. It's interesting, but I don't know code wise if I could just throw one up in my backyard in the middle of town.
Right,
so,
right. Well, of course, we live in Kansas for all
yeah.
of our international listeners.
Uh-huh.
And so the Midwest does have a ton of wind capacity.
Yes.
And like the Southwest of the United States has a ton of solar capacity.
Yep.
And so it's kind of region dependent. Again, the Northeast is like your absolute worst. You know.
Yeah.
But. We just need to chop off New England, entire thing.
What's interesting to me about the renewable energy is, like, this is my guess. I didn't have time to go do a poll. But if I asked people, list for me the most popular, the best renewable energy, they'd say solar.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, I feel, would go to solar. Or wind.
Yeah.
But most people would just think solar power. That's where your mind goes. But yet, that's one of the, at least as far as I could tell, not necessarily least efficient, but at this point, least used.
Right.
And because there's a massive, massive solar array somewhere in the east.
I think they have one in
west.
California.
Sorry,
yeah,
west.
It's near Silicon Valley.
But what
I
was
believe.
Interesting about it is it's so big, but it doesn't seem to power that
yeah.
much on the grand scale of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's been no way just to use because those are the that's the one with the mirrors
mm-hmm.
that boils the water and
mm-hmm,
then you use
mm-hmm.
that one. So it's not like just solar panels, but I got a few numbers. I don't know if you want to go over these or not, but currently we're about give or take 10% of our electric in America is renewable.
Really? 10% of like the production? Because that's really good, actually. I would consider
That's what I...
Or 10% of like the number of plants or number of...
No, like 10% is of our electricity we use is...
Wow.
And I saw... That's what I saw. I could be completely wrong.
That's we should look into that. But that's really good, I think. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good start, I guess. But this is what I found even more interesting. Whether or not that's exactly what that means. What I found interesting was they split the percentages of the renewable energies used. What are they?
Okay.
And you had I should have added these up to make sure that this was like they actually added up to 100%. But it looks about right. Wind was about 17%, and I rounded a little
this
bit.
This is of the 10% that's renewable.
Of the renewable.
Okay.
Wind was 17%. Hydro was 28%.
Okay, and that's...
Which makes sense.
That's just like generators
dam.
Underneath dams.
Uh-huh.
And okay, yeah.
Biomass. So wood and burning waste and using... So I but using biomaterial.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like 23%, 5%, and 22%. And then you have solar at 3% and geothermal at 2%.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Solar just isn't, for some reason, it's just not there yet, which to me, in my mind too, reading some of the few articles and things I have about the sun, there's so much stinking energy there.
Yeah.
We could, if we could figure it out, harness so much power from the sun.
Well, yeah, you think about how much the sun produces, and then there's the concept of the Dyson sphere, right? Where you build this huge thing all the way around.
Like in Spaceballs?
Yeah, yes. All the way around the sun so that you can harness all the energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you think, using that concept, the Earth is only this teeny tiny sliver of the sun's total energy that we receive. Still, it's a ton of energy.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that one, the technology is probably the least mature, the least viable right now. So we have, I was interested in this article, and we're going to have our news correspondent, my lovely wife, read it for us.
Oh, come on, man. Just say news correspondent.
News correspondent.
It makes it sound more legit.
Montana. No last name, because people will know.
Do you think they'd link it together?
I think they would. We'll just give her like a fake name.
Okay.
What's a good like news lady name? I mean, Montana's a great name for you know.
Montana on scene.
That's okay. All right, so now to our news correspondent, Montana on scene. with this.
For the solar and wind industries in the United States, it has been a long-held dream to produce energy at a cost equal to conventional sources like coal and natural gas. That day appears to be dawning. The cost of providing electricity from wind and solar power plants has plummeted over the last 5 years, so much so that in some markets, renewable energy is now cheaper than coal or natural gas. Utility executives say the trend has accelerated this year, with several companies signing contracts for solar or wind at prices below that of natural gas, especially in the Great Plains and Southwest, where wind and sunlight are abundant. According to a study by the investment banking firm Lazard, the cost of utility-scale solar energy is as low as 5.6 cents a kilowatt hour, and wind is as low as 1.4 cents. In comparison, natural gas comes at 6.1 cents a kilowatt hour on the low end, and coal at 6.6 cents. Without subsidies, the firm's analysis shows solar costs about 7.2 cents a kilowatt hour at the low end, with wind at 3.7 cents. It is really quite notable, when compared to where we were just 5 years ago, to see the decline in the cost of these technologies, said Jonathan Murr, a managing director at Lazard, which has been comparing the economics of power generation technology since 2008. Experts and executives caution that the low prices do not mean wind and solar farms can replace conventional power plants anytime soon. You can't dispatch it when you want to, said Khalil Shalabi, Vice President of Energy Market Operations and Resource Planning at Austin Energy, which is why the utility, like others, still sees value in combined cycle gas plants, even though they may cost more. Nonetheless, he said, executives were surprised to see how far solar prices had fallen. Renewables had two issues. One, they were too expensive. And two, they weren't dispatchable. Well, they're not too expensive anymore.
So to reiterate the part of that that really caught my eye is that solar energy can be, you know, location dependent, as low as 5.6 cents a kilowatt hour. And wind can be as low as 1.4 cents, which is great.
Yeah.
And then compared to natural gas, which is 6.1 cents, and coal, which is 6.6. And a lot of that, you know, as Montana Onscene mentioned, is dependent on subsidies.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's true.
Even without the subsidies, wind can still be quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
And solar is, it's close. It's not, you know,
yeah,
not terribly off.
So what's another thing that I've heard of, and you know, we took a trip out to Eastern Kansas, I keep saying it wrong, Western Kansas, a while back, and you drove through all by all those wind farms.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
picked something up. We found on Craigslist out in the middle of nowhere, but it was right by one of those. And so we stopped at a gas station, and I don't know. I'd always try to make some comments. I made some comment about the windmills, the massive awesome things. I think they're the coolest thing in the world.
They are so cool.
I would totally own a farm right in the middle of those.
Those blades are just ridiculously. If you've ever seen one being shipped on a truck, they're like 100 feet.
Big ones. I think it's cool. I like them. They're quiet. It's not like this, you know. And I just, at least from the little time I've spent around them, maybe if you live around them, they're not. Maybe it's a different story.
Yeah.
But you know, she was just like, oh god, they're the ugliest things. I hate them. I wish they wouldn't be here. I'm just like, I get that. Like, and so when, how do we draw that line? Because people want renewable energy and we want cheap energy and all this kind of stuff, but we don't want ugliness.
And so
it's kind of like, what do we do?
Yeah, you know? this is personal opinion, but I don't give a crap about that. I think it looks futuristic and neat, you know? I think it's cool.
Yeah, so do I, but, you know.
Well, maybe those people can just get over it. If you're one of those people, get over yourself. You're saving the world.
Yeah.
And it looks super futuristic.
And then you have all those other issues. Have you read much about, you know, how many birds?
Oh, it's nothing, though. It's like, it's not as many birds as like a single cat kills in a year.
It goes back to your numbers. If we listed, you know, the numbers for statistics.
Exactly. But, a million birds were killed.
Yeah.
Which is 0% of the bird population.
You compare it to cars. But like, I'm going to get right this time. On the East Coast, I think off of, not necessarily Maine, but one of those up, you know, on the north. And maybe I should have looked into it, but maybe I think they have an array going out the wind farm, but they didn't want it too close to the beach and the stuff,
they have
because
offshore.
It's ugly and you know, things like, they just didn't want it to ruin their sunsets. And again, I'm not saying those are invalid opinions, but on the other hand, like, what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, you want cheaper, you want renewable, but you don't want to be inconvenienced or things to be ugly.
So another thing with going to these sources, and, you know, they're not perfect right now, obviously.
Yeah.
There's going to be improvement over time. There's a paradox, and I can't remember what it's called. But basically, if you send a rocket that can travel a certain speed, and your goal is to reach the next star, okay. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the time that it's traveling, you can build a faster rocket that will catch and pass the first rocket. Should you have invested in that first one?
Okay.
Right?
But then on that second one, if you waited by the time that second one, faster one,
exactly.
gets there, you would have been able to build
exactly.
another faster.
And so I think the conclusion to the paradox is you send it now.
Yeah.
And then as you actually achieve those faster, more powerful things, then you implement them.
Yeah.
And so the idea how this relates is that, you know, should we wait for solar or wind or fusion or whatever other technologies to develop before we start implementing them?
No.
No, because it's going to be, for one, you never know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
For another, it's such a huge change. There will always be a need to renew power plants and, you know, produce more energy.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We'll implement the best thing we have at the time that we have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Give me years. How many years until we are 100% renewable energy based?
100%. I think we'll see. I bet that we'll see a majority over 50% within our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So let's call that by 2100.
Okay.
I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think as things wear out, people will definitely be making checks to see if it makes sense. And the subsidies, you know, whether or not they're the right thing to do, those subsidies are going to be in place in some level or another.
Yeah.
And there's like the carbon market where you can buy carbon credits, and that makes it even more viable to replace your, you know, new plant or your old plant with a energy efficient one.
Maybe I should stop this before we go here, because maybe neither of us have any idea. I tried to Google it the other day and I couldn't figure it out. What does Google's building run off of? Did we talk about this once?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Listeners, let us know. I remember talking to someone, and they said Google runs off like this insane type of new power system.
Huh.
It's like the size of a car, and it runs their whole complex.
It would not surprise me, being Google.
And I Googled, what is Google powered off of, and I got stuff like Windows 9 kind of crap. You know, like it wasn't,
DirectX,
it wasn't what I was trying to
Java,
go for.
Java,
so.
Oh, wow. So we had Greensburg, obviously, which a couple years ago was a small town in western Kansas, completely destroyed by a tornado.
Yeah.
And they made this big rebuilding effort to be one of the greenest cities in America.
Uh-huh.
Greensburg.
Greensburg.
It was clever. I guess, yeah. And so they basically use that opportunity of having a clean slate to make themselves more more efficient,
yeah,
and cleaner. And that's good, but 90% of America, it's going to be incremental, yeah, and slow. Yeah. And that's okay. That's the nature of things. You know, with electric cars, with power supply, with whatever, things don't change fast.
So I'm going to show my ignorance on this subject because I just never really researched it much. Nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Renewable?
No, but I think that, and I'm a huge fan, like I said already.
Yeah.
Nuclear is not renewable because it does leave the radioactive waste, but I think that the amount of waste that it leaves is so tiny. But renewable
doesn't have to do with the waste it leaves, does it? It has to do with what we're burning.
Yeah, but even in the case of like uranium or plutonium, yeah, whatever it's powered by, it's an element in the earth. Yeah. Okay. So, But I do think that that is a really good segue, and I think that a lot of fears, yeah, about nuclear are irrational.
Yes, I
think
they've blown out of proportion. I have heard a lot of those kind of things. It's not near as much of an issue as what it's been made out to be.
Yeah.
And just a little tidbit for you. Beer that's been through a nuclear in a nuclear explosion, obviously not destroyed, but had the radiation fallout, is still, mm-hmm, good to drink.
Nice.
At least that's what I read on the internet.
You know what? Let's just have some.
So,
next on SPI, irradiated beer taste test.
And we'll let you know how we're doing. So, two segments.
Yeah.
And we're still at like 50 minutes. So,
we made the right decision. I don't feel like we had to squeeze.
No, we should do a test sometime. We'll do a one segment and see if it's one of those natural things where we just talk to fill in the time no matter what.
It's always like 45 minutes no matter what.
We're going to have a zero.
Carrots. Do you like them? Yes or no? 45 minutes.
Even a no segment one. Mm. We just sit and we say, we don't have anything planned. Let's see if we can hit 45 minutes.
Dude, you know we could.
I know.
You know we could.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan. I think that... Ultimately, I don't think things are as dire as they seem. Humanity has adapted to so many things over, yes, the course of their history, and we'll adapt to this one. And yeah, I think that you're seeing the beginnings of that on both fronts. Yeah. And it's good that people are aware of it, that these changes are starting to happen. Yeah. That signals to me that we'll get there.
I hope so. Are you telling me that some of the stuff I've heard and read is almost a form of propaganda trying to convince me of something to think, yeah, a certain way?
Wouldn't you know?
Hmm.
Think about that. What if some of the things that you hear are lies?
That's a lie.
It's going to blow your mind.
What if you telling me things are a lie is a lie?
It's going to blow your mind like every nuclear plant that was ever built.
Yeah?
Blows up and kills the world.
That would be terrible.
It would be terrible. I shouldn't joke about stuff like that.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Maybe one of our five listeners has somebody that was in one of those explosions.
Dude, we're doing good.
Are we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, by the way, to all of our loyal listeners. No, we're doing good. Yeah. I don't want to like say statistics, but we'll talk about it over dinner when we're done here.
All right. What's for dinner?
Dude, you know what I just realized?
What?
We've got a segment to splice in reading this, so it's going to be like an extra 5 minutes. We're already...
We better end. I might cut out some of that.
You might. It's all good stuff. That's the sex appeal segment, though.
Yeah. So. We're just normal guys with massively huge brains.
All right.
Hey,
well, okay. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Go to our website.
Go to the website.
Hang out.
Buy a t-shirt.
Okay, I'm going to plug in one more thing. I swear we're done.
Make some comments.
Rate us on iTunes.
Yes, please.
I tried to Google the other day how many ratings does it take to actually get it up there as a rating.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get any exacts, but from what I read, people are like 10.
Oh.
That wasn't like we have to have like 100 ratings before they'll give us an average.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've rated us like with my 10 different accounts.
7 different
accounts. And it hasn't worked yet. So if we can get some other people go on there, I'm not going to tell you to rate us 5 stars.
Even if it's bad.
Be honest. I would love to have that up there. So.
Cool.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things. And people tend to pass you over, 'cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water. or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like, and green can be big like an ocean, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree.